Morning, Grace. I am so glad that you're here today as we kick off 2021 in our teaching calendar. Today we're going to be in the book of Jonah. Awesome, right? You guys sound like it. All right. So woke up New Year's Day, and thankfully, because it would be really awkward if I didn't, and I'm here. So I woke up and I had what people have described as vertigo to me, and so I woke up and I was like, it was awkward and weird, and I was leaning to one side, and I had to go pick up Karis because she spent the night with a friend, and so I make it out to the porch, and it's real brisk and cold, and it's warm in the house, and so that temperature change just kind of messed me up a little bit, so I go outside, and as soon as I made it to the porch, it's like my body just went left, like you're riding Gravitron at one of those little fairs that visit the grocery store parking lots, and so I was like leaning like this on the wall, and I can only imagine during that period, like what my neighbor Justin was thinking if he would have saw me. He was thinking, man, that preacher sure knows how to party. And but anyways, I went back in the house and just kind of fell out on the bed. And I said, Aaron, you're going to have to go pick up Karis. And so she did, which was really good. But one thing I learned, man, balance is great. And so what I did is I visited a doctor on YouTube, and I saw how she treats it. And so I did that and took a nap, and I was good. I balanced from there on out. Hey, but truth is, we know life out of balance is messed up. There's a variety of ways or things in our life that really, if they're messed up, out of whack, we know it. Like your finances, right? If you spend more than you make, you're in debt, right? If your tires are out of alignment, then your tires are shredded, right? Or maybe even for some of us who work too much and then our families pay for it. There's all these things that need balance, and we are coming to a story about a prophet. Usually when the Bible talks about a prophet, it deals with the word that God gave the prophet. Well, here it starts with that, and then it kind of goes off on the rails and talks more about the prophet himself. And so it's with that that we approach Jonah, this prophet who didn't have things in balance. You know, he was a prophet under King Jeroboam II, who was a wicked king. And the thing about Jonah is he knew that God was righteous and just. He even knew that God was also loving and merciful. However, his favorite traits of God were his righteousness and holiness. And for him, his view of God's justice is what should have been displayed. He saw mercy as something that is really just for those who deserve it. And it's with that we start off in verse 2 of Jonah 1. Look at this with me in this call here. Jonah 1, verse 2, it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence, and some translations say, from the face of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. God told him to arise and go and just proclaim this, honestly, this judgment against Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. Go and just pronounce this judgment. And he rises up, but he goes in the opposite direction. He flees from there. The thing is, whether it was fear or just complete hatred, either way, he fled. He knew that the Assyrians were morally and ethnically bankrupt. They were Gentiles. They were another race. He didn't care about them. So he wants God to conform to his way of thinking. For him, God should just wipe these people off the map. They shouldn't even exist in the first place because these people were nefarious. They were evil and vile. They did crazy things to people in punishment to kill them. Jonah saw this message of going to warn them as a mercy that they didn't deserve. So he fled the other way. Now, we know about another prophet who had this crazy encounter with the Lord, Isaiah. If you remember in Isaiah 6, he has this encounter with the Lord where he sees God lifted up, right? And then after seeing God lifted up, instead of him running away, what he does is he has this moment of worship watching that, and then he sees his own depravity and sin, and he confesses that sin before the Lord. And then God says, kind of gives this call, like, who's going to go, and whom shall I send? And Isaiah's like, send me, Lord. Well, that's the opposite experience for Jonah. Like, he doesn't even think about his own depravity. He doesn't even think about the mercy that's been displayed to him. He just wants to go away because he doesn't want mercy to be shown to his enemies. And here's the thing that we learn from this, is that the depth of the Assyrians' depravity illustrates God's grace and the depth of his mercy toward us. If he can show mercy to people like that, then he can show mercy to people like you and me. So when God calls him to go to Nineveh, the capital city, and pronounce judgment, like I said, he went the other way. And what he does there is he disobeys. And Jonah's disobedience, let's just call it what it is, it's sin. Oftentimes in our lives, when we disobey, we don't want to call it what it is. We want to kind of soften the blow a little bit. We want to kind of make it a little bit more acceptable and palatable to us. But when we disobey God, it's a sin against a holy God. The Bible doesn't teach, and here's the thing that happens. There's a storm that comes in his life and in the sailors who took him on board. But the Bible doesn't teach that every storm that we face is a result of our individual sin. But the Bible does teach that every sin that we commit does bring difficulty. For example, we can live like this incredibly healthy life, super health conscious, you know, always doing like the whole 30, just rocking it, you know what I'm saying? We can do keto till we're crazy, get into ketosis, same thing, right? We can be physically active and still die from a disease. So it just happens. But on the other end, too, we could know that our physical life, you know, we can just say, you know what, I know it's unhealthy to eat like I do and not, you know, be physically active and all that stuff, and that will take us out, too. There's a consequence for that type of thinking. In both cases, there's consequence. So as a result, God causes a great storm as a consequence, as a reality of Jonah's sin. And the waves are crazy to the point where the other sailors, who this was normative for them to have storms, but this particular storm was like no other. And so they're sitting there crying out to their gods, their false gods, trying to figure out what to do, praying and hoping. And then they cast lots, try to figure out whose fault is this. And then they come and find out that it's Jonah's fault. Well, here's the thing about disobedience. As I mentioned, there are consequences. Sometimes if we're honest and whether we want to pull back and zoom out big enough, wide enough, we'll see that those consequences affect other people. And sometimes those consequences are negative. Sometimes, as we're going to see in a few moments, that God uses this to kind of make his name known in the lives of the sailors. So it's good sometimes, but most times it's not. And sometimes what we need to really understand is that these consequences affect us when we disobey. We don't have peace and fellowship with God, the joy of his presence like we should. So while they're wigging out and crying to their gods about this storm, Jonah's taking a nap, which is totally normal, right? So here we pick up in verse 8, they wake him up and they said to him, "Tell us whose account this evil has come upon us." And then they ask him this question, kind of interrogate him. "What is your occupation? And where do you come from?" Can you imagine waking up and these are your questions? "And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now, here's some things we need to point out because it's in the text. Let's be honest. He didn't fear the Lord. He says here he fears the Lord. He didn't fear the Lord. Had he feared the Lord, he would have submitted to the Lord. He would have trusted him and went and did what he called him to do despite what he wanted to do personally. He didn't fear the Lord. And here's the thing for us too. Many of us in this room, like if we just for a second own it, we don't fear the Lord either. Because there's too many areas of our lives where we don't submit either. Besides that, the thing that disobedience causes us to do when we sin is it makes us a coward. It causes us to be ineffective. I mean, here's an example. He's on this ship, great opportunity for, you know, a message about the one true living God. And that's not the message he gives. He doesn't even tell the sailors who the living God is. They have to find out as a result of this consequence. then we see this incredible statement, which happens to be an indictment on Jonah, right? He says, speaking of the God he fears, God made the sea and the dry land. Okay, he just said that God has made everything, and he's trying to run from him. How consistent is that? It's like playing hide and seek with a toddler, right? They cover their eyes and think they're invisible. How can we run from a God who's everywhere? So that's the challenge here. So Sinclair Ferguson puts it this way. He says, we will not escape God's presence, even if we will not live joyfully in it. Like many of us in this room, we know that God is everywhere present, but man, we miss out on the moments of the fellowship, the true communion with God that we can have all the time. Psalm 139 puts it this way. It says, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. And then he finally convinces them. He's like, guys, what you need to do is you just need to throw me overboard. Which in the moment, like you ever been around somebody that sounds like so cool and heroic in the moment? In the moment, he sounds so awesome. Yeah, I'll die for you guys. Let's be honest. His motive for wanting them to throw him overboard is just another way of escaping and fleeing from his call to go to Nineveh. That's all it is. And many of us, we have these exterior things that we say outwardly, but inside we're cowards. We won't own our sin, and he needed to own it and face it. And he'll get a moment for that. We'll find out next week. But man, in this moment, he is like trying to really flee to the point where he's going to think in his thoughts, thinks he's going to drown. Then we pick up to verse 14. He says, therefore they called out to the Lord. Now notice that, speaking of the sailors, it says they called out to the Lord. Notice that's an uppercase L, meaning the one true living God. And they are praying. Now the sailors are praying, these people who were, you know, foreigners who didn't know the true living God. Now they say, oh Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not on us innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it has pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Can you imagine? Like, it's been going bananas, and all of a sudden you throw this guy in, and everything's calm. And here's their response. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Like, even though there was a consequence for Jonah's sin, God used it as a way to make his name known to those who didn't know him. How powerful is that? More than you know, we serve a powerful God who deserves our praise. He alone is worthy. Now, one thing that I want us to learn this year as a church is that God's word is gracious in a variety of ways. God uses it. But one of the ways that God uses his word is to hold up a mirror to us, for us to see ourselves as we really are, for God's spirit to use it to bring to light the sin that needs to be confessed and repented of, to bring to bear the things that we need to really walk through and see why we sin the way we sin. And in this one, many of us, like Jonah, are out of balance too. Like, we want God's mercy and grace and his love to be shown to us, but we really kind of also want God's wrath and justice to be shown to other people. People that don't vote like us, look like us, smell like us, act like us, believe like us. We're out of balance. Thankfully, and here's a praise. You want to praise? Thankfully, God does not conform to our ways of seeing things. And thankfully, God did not conform to Jonah's ways of seeing things. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We are the sailors. We are the Ninevites. And more than you want to admit, we are Jonah. We don't know the true and living God like the sailors. We don't know the holy God like the Ninevites. And we don't know the loving and merciful God like Jonah. We, each of us in this room, need God's grace. And that's exactly why Jesus came. Jonah ran from the call of God. Jesus ran directly to the call of God. He ran from redeeming, but Jesus ran to redeem. And my question is, are you like Jonah, where you're a stranger to God's actions towards you? Are you very familiar with them? And if you're a stranger to God's actions towards you, I want to remind you of a passage that maybe you've heard before. Let me just read it. This is John 3, 16. And I want to read verse 17 because it helps us see this idea of him sending. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, believes in Christ, his son, should not perish but have eternal life." I want you to see this truth here in verse 17. "For God did not send his own son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." In other words, Jesus was thrown overboard so that you can have life, so that the storm of what you deserve in God's wrath won't come upon you. It came upon him. How about you as a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you remember back in the covenant that God made with Abraham, he says, "I will bless you so that you can be a blessing to the nations." If you're a follower of Jesus in here and you're a disciple of his, and what happens, here's what's cool about that, then you've experienced the blessing of God and you have a responsibility to bless others. It's something that we're called to. And I would just ask, for 2021, where is God calling you to go this year? It may not be some third world country, but it may be that you finally make it across the street and talk to your neighbor. Where's God calling you to go? It may be that you just need to go down the hall and actually show who God is in your life to your boss. Where is God calling you to go? Second question is this for this year. Who is God calling you to love? Let me just be real. I mean, you know this, but sometimes you just need to be reminded. It's so easy to love the people that love you back. Where is he calling you to go? Who is he calling you to love? Like, what group of people need to know that you love them because God loves you? Like, they may be relatives. They may be people from a different political party. They may be people who don't think like you do about certain things. But man, you need to go to them. They may not look like you or smell like you, but man, they need to know that you love them because God loves you. And the third question is this year, what if you just made these three questions, you just aim to answer them? And the third one is this: who in your life needs to know that you need to tell about God's love for them? Like, who needs to know? And that you would walk with them and really help them see. Because again, at Grace, we exist to be disciples of Jesus Christ that make disciples of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Like, who do you need to tell and like disciple so that they better understand what God has done for them? So we're going to be going through this journey with Jonah this month. And man, there's some crazy things. This cat was not like getting all his stars in Sunday school. I'll just put it that way. If anything, he's more like the older brother in the parable to the prodigal son. He's the older brother that just didn't get it, what God can do with his mercy. As a church, I am grateful that we're walking together through this in 2021. And let's pray. And the thing we want to pray is that if there's any sin in our life that we need to confess, if there's anything we need to repent of, turn from, that God's Spirit would show us how we're empowered to do so. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for this incredible reality. Lord God, that this work that you've done in Jonah's life, Lord God, to reveal to him his sinfulness is a mirror for us to see ours as well. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just empower us to confess that sin and to repent of it, to turn from it. Lord, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.